Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, and this is a very special evening because my guest this evening is me, or maybe you. I haven't quite figured that out. Am I interviewing myself or am I interviewing the folks that call in tonight, because it's a very special night. Tomorrow is my birthday. And it's one of those big birthdays. It's one of those events. So for those of you that have not been under an online rock, I've been posting all over the internet that tonight I'm encouraging people to call in. Say whatever nice things you would like to say to me for my birthday, and guess my age. So people have seen my picture, you've heard me do the show and all the rest of it. How old do you think I am? And at the end of the show, I will reveal, in reality show form, of course, how old I am. So here are the rules. You guess my age if you don't know my age. So if you're calling up because you're an old friend of mine and you know how old I am, you are not eligible to guess. Don't ruin the game for everybody else, and don't ruin it for me, because it'll be a lot of fun. So tonight's metaphysical musing is about space and time, because you look at birthdays and they're markers in time, but time doesn't exist without space. It's one of those conundrums. And what we're really marking is how long my spirit, my soul, has been in this body, in this timeline, because quantum physics now tells us in all likelihood there are multiple realities, multiple parallel realities, in which every choice that could have possibly been made, in addition to the one that I actually made in this situation, are playing themselves out somewhere. How's that for mind-bending? So we're only celebrating my experience in this particular parallel universe with this group of participants. And I want to thank some of the people who have participated with me and have birthdays right about the same time. Because I have a bunch of friends that have birthdays right around the same time. One of them is Tom Bickford in California, whose birthday is May 2nd. I call him my brother, one of several people that I met a long, long time ago that I consider my brothers, Frank Brown. His birthday is on May 6th. He's in Japan, so I don't think he's going to be calling in tonight. And there are probably two or three others that are not coming to mind. Their names are not coming to mind at the moment, which is a terrible thing. But I've been really lucky to have some wonderful friends that I've known most of my life and have been with me most of my life, and we've taken good care of each other. So this space-time thing, what do we do about this space-time thing? What is space and what is time and what is physical and what's not physical? Someone online asked me what I meant by spirit. And I kind of use spirit, divinity, source, and sacred almost interchangeably. They have nuances of meaning to me. But it's the sense of the non-physical intelligence that animates what we experience as the physical world. So in my particular body, that intelligence is represented by this personality that comes through. And when this body is no longer useful, that personality is still going to be in spirit. It's going to be in the non-physical world. So quantum physicists will talk about the particle reality, the physical reality, and the vibrational reality or energy. And that's a real parallel, notice the pun, to the spiritual reality, which is there is this physical reality that we experience, whatever it is. Einstein said it was an optical delusion, and that reality was an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. So in this illusion of physical reality, we are also in spirit, in energy, in some way, a vibration. Isn't this fun stuff? I know I haven't figured it all out, but I know that there is a difference between the physical particle stuff and the non-physical energy stuff, and that the energy stuff is really where everything starts, that the physical stuff is somehow a manifestation of that energy. And maybe if I wrote about it long enough, I would sort of figure it out, but that's probably as far as I could go at the moment. So here we are at the end of the metaphysical musing on the day before my birthday. May 4th is actually my birthday, and May 4th is also Star Wars Day, for those of you that are not aware of it. May the 4th be with you. And now that you stopped groaning from that, what we're going to do this evening is open up the phones and hope that lots and lots of people call in to play and guess my age and say whatever nice things you would like to say to me. Please say nice things. Saying nasty things would be kind of silly on a show like this. And at the end of the show, I will reveal my age, which might be frightening to me and other people, too. That phone number to call in is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. We only have a few telephone lines coming into the studio, so it's possible if you call, you get a busy signal. It doesn't mean anything that's wrong other than there are calls stacked up on the switchboard. And it'll just take a minute as I talk to folks for lines to open up. So please be patient and be persistent and give us a call. So at the moment, Captain Bob in the studio is not telling me that I have any people on the line. Which means, you know, here's the problem with with this kind of show and taking this risk. Is if nobody calls in, I wind up sitting here doing what jazz musicians call vamping. You just keep playing, hoping that you'll come up with some interesting little variation or experiment to do that people will be interested in, and pretty much you're playing the same song over and over again. For those of you that don't know how the back stuff works on shows like this, I'm getting chat messages from the studio, and I just got one that says "vamp it up." No callers yet. Birthdays are a really interesting thing. When we're little kids, we really, really, really want to be the next age and to get older, and we're really, really, really looking forward to it. And the gifts that we get are really, really, really cool and important. And we remember details from all those various events that were our birthday parties. But as you get older, those things aren't quite as important as the relationships. So it's nice when you get stuff, and it's nice to be acknowledged, and it's nice to get things that you wouldn't necessarily buy for yourself. But what becomes more important is the people that are in your life on that birthday and sharing the birthday, sharing your life with those people. And I've been very lucky. One of the people that I get to hang out with, and I just heard her come home from a rehearsal, is my daughter, who is an incredible dancer and choreographer and is rehearsing for performances at the end of the school year. She's a junior in high school. Another one is the previously mentioned Frank Brown, who is in Japan near Fukushima doing spiritual work with a large group of people, shifting the energy of the planet and dealing with all the destruction that happened at Fukushima. So send him your blessing and your energy. It's been an interesting journey with him, watching the two of us in very different ways become the healers that we've become. And the other important person in my life and total delight is my girlfriend, Susan, who I hope is out there listening and probably at this moment is mortified that I mentioned her on online. But there you go, honey. These are the people that give a lot of juice to my life and create a lot of structure. Then, you know, there are other people that you depend on that you don't see as much or that live further away. And in doing my work, spiritual clearing work, and I work on all kinds of things, some of which are very difficult and some of which are what other people would think are dark and scary and strange and weird and all of those words, it's good to have partners in this. I'll get back to this in a minute, but I've got Ed from Virginia on the line. And hey, Ed.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to call in and say thank you again to you and Susan for working on me for my stroke.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the written testimonial you just gave. I'm going to be posting that up. Can I tell your story just briefly and quickly,
sure.
Or would you like to?
Sure. Go ahead. You can do it.
Edwin had an unusual event that the doctors kind of wonder how it happened, which was he had a stroke on both sides of his brain and basically woke up blind and totally confused. And they got him to the hospital quickly, and he was in good shape, but we worked on you, and various things started to shift fairly quickly for you. Do you want to say a couple of sentences about what your experience was?
Well, it was the strangest thing, you know, waking up blind, and all of a sudden, knowing everything about your body, everything else was working fine, and some of the coherence wasn't there, and the speech was kind of okay, but when I got to the hospital, they started working on me, didn't put any of that block clearing thing in there because they didn't know when the thing happened. They didn't know if it was in the time parameter. So I just made it through the week. And then when I got back home, one eye was working, the other eye was kind of foggy. So I dropped an email to you, and you started working on me right away. And within a day, that whole right side had cleared. And a lot of my memories started coming back, and it was just amazing. My neurologist was just blown away by it.
Yeah, it confuses them a lot.
Yeah. And then on top of that, I'm down about 60 or 70 pounds, too. So.
Cool. Just hey, I got to figure out how to do something like that for myself.
Yeah, I just all of a sudden just started working, so.
Great.
I'm thrilled, and I just wanted to thank you again, and your show has always been great, and I enjoy listening to it every week. So,
my pleasure, and thanks so much for calling in. And do you want to guess my age?
59.
Okay, that's not my age, but Edwin is actually somebody who's met me, so that's his impression. And we meet, actually, I'm not going to
see it out.
No fair. No calculating, no dowsing.
Okay.
And if somebody calls in that knows me in the real world, one of my old friends or something, they already know that they're not allowed to reveal what my age is because it's too much fun playing the game.
Oh, yeah. You actually look a whole lot younger. I was just making a wild-ass guess.
Well, how do I look?
You look great.
No, I mean, what age do you think I would?
Oh, I think you'd be down in the early 50s.
Yeah. I get that a lot. I won't tell you whether it's accurate or whether it's high or low.
All right. Well, we'll have to wait till the end of the show.
Till the end of the show.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Thank you so much for calling in, Edwin.
And you're welcome. Yeah. Well, thanks for the great show and for all the help. I really appreciate it. So I'll see you before long. Bye-bye.
My pleasure. Bye-bye. Yeah, Edwin and I meet once a year at a convention that we both typically go to, and I'm not going to be making it this time. But we see each other once a year and connect online. So another one of those people that shows up at just the right time. So is there nobody else that wants to guess my age? I guess it's not all that interesting. It's interesting to me. Now, of course, I'm totally sidetracked by having talked to Edwin, and I don't remember where I was in my conversation with myself. I was talking about friends and people who travel through this with you. One of the things, I think I was talking about my in air quotes, brother, Frank, who is certainly my brother, but we had different mothers. Brother from another mother. He knew me before I got weird, as the saying goes, before I started doing spiritual work, before I started doing healing work, and kind of watched all that, wondering what in the world was going on. And then he started going through a process where his life started to unfold, and he started experimenting with various healing modalities and discovered that he was a powerful healer and very intuitive and had a lot to offer. And in the course of events, he has moved in a direction I never would have expected, and he is turning into quite the healer and shaman. So it's always interesting to see how this works. I remember he came back from the first workshop where he saw an aura. And he said, "Master Chen sounds just like you." And I said, "Do you think it's different in China?" "It's the same thing in China." And he said, "Yeah, but I could see the stuff you were talking about." I was like, "Yeah, welcome to my world. This is so cool." And that happens to a lot of people, where they suddenly have an opening to experiences that they didn't think were real, and they thought all the people that talked about him were just a little kooky and maybe not all put together. And then they find out that this stuff is very real. And it's the difference between belief and experience. And in my sense of what's going on in the world, in my experience, experience always trumps belief. Belief, in effect, is hearsay. Belief is an indication that you don't have an experience of it, but somebody else who says that they have a strong feeling that this is true convince you that this must be true. And if you're really lucky, the person who's telling you that has had an experience. But frequently, they haven't had an experience either. They may be going by what other people have told them, what they read in a book. It could be any number of different sources, but there's so much convergence of opinion, and so the story is told so many times in so many ways that they're convinced it's true. And most of what all of us go through life with are beliefs, basically stories, and they serve us well. They give us a way to understand a lot of things in life. At some point, especially with this kind of work, you have an experience that is no longer a belief, that is no longer something that somebody told you. It's an experience that you personally have had. And if you don't invalidate it, because a lot of people will just kind of shake their head and go, "No, that couldn't have been." Winston Churchill said that most men will trip over the truth and just shake it off. He didn't say shake it off, and keep on walking. That, you know, it's such a jolt to their sense of what's the way things should be that they just ignore it. And people will do that. But if you have an experience and you validate that experience, you say something happened here that I didn't expect. So, for example, if there's a whole lot of interest in paranormal investigating, in ghost hunting. And there's a lot of interesting information coming out of that, and it's really making people have a sense that maybe something non-physical is going on, and that when we die, we don't disappear. And that's one of the major questions in life. What happens when we die? So people go and they do the things with the various electronic devices and they get certain kinds of response, or they'll try to have a conversation with a ghost and get some response, whether it's from a device or knocking on the wall or some other thing. And they can, you know, have a yes or no conversation just by knocks on the wall. And then you sort of know something's going on, that there's an intelligence there that you're communicating with. And then at some point you have an experience where something that you can't see touches you. Hopefully it's, you know, a feeling next to your cheek and not somebody pushing you or tripping you or throwing you against the wall, all of which I've experienced, which is why I do remote healing now. It's like, why would I want to be there? But once those things happen, especially if they happen more than once, you pretty much either have to lie to yourself and say, no, that didn't happen, or you have to say, I don't understand it yet, but something very real just happened, and now I'm even more curious about it, and I'm going to get more information and see what I can find out. And that shift from belief to experience is the difference between, in many ways, is the difference between religions and scriptures and all of those things where somebody else who had the experience is passing down that experience to becoming someone who has their own experience and then is going to integrate that and see where it takes you. And for many, many, many people, that experience of there being more than the physical takes them in the direction of being some kind of healer, takes them into an expanded awareness and a sense that they want to do more in the world because now they know there's more to do in the world. So I've been very fortunate to be on that journey with a number of people, and it's probably time for me to start looking at ways to assist people in doing that. I get asked that a lot. And the work that I do is advanced and can be dangerous. So when someone comes over and goes, I want to do what you do, my first question is, well, what have you done so far? Because they have to be fairly far along in their personal work and their experience in doing healing work to be able to be taught how to do the stuff that I do. On the other hand, I've been on this path for a long time. I won't tell you how long, because then you can figure out my age. And I think I have some ways to help people move along that path. Edwin, actually, in the course of our conversations at the convention, was saying, you know, are you taking apprentices, or, you know, can you help people? And I'm starting to formulate a way to do that. And maybe that's what I'll talk about after the break. So here we are, folks. Where are you? You're supposed to be calling in and playing this game with me and guessing my age and wishing me happy birthday. Big sigh. But I'm having a good time. I hope you are. And we're a couple of minutes away from the break. If you want to know what in the world I'm talking about with my work, you can go to househealing.com, and there are tons of information there. Join my email list. Check out the various things in the blog, especially the testimonials, and find out what it is that this fairly unusual host on a radio show really does out there in the world. So we're coming up on a break. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Sassy! Sassy! this week's episode, Trouble on Rock Hill.
Ain't nothing like running up and down Rock Hill.
Hey, let's move this rock.
Whoa! Sassy, Johnny's stuck under that rock. Yeah, girl, go tell Mr. Gunderson to bring his truck. You'll tell him, but only after you dispel a stereotype associated with shelter pets? People think shelter pets come with lots of initial veterinary costs?
It's dusty under here.
But in reality, most shelter pets have been vaccinated, neutered, and microchipped in case they get lost?
My pants ripped.
Sassy, Johnny needs help. What Johnny really needs is more discipline and better parental supervision? You use big words, Sassy.
Still under the rock.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Remember, adopt.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S.
Now,
Army
back to the
and
Farkas
the Ad
Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back. And here I am, once again, talking about the journey, talking about how I got here and how all the other people that I've interviewed got, in quotation marks, here. One of the things that I really love doing in interviewing other people that have been on a healing path for a long time and are doing fascinating work and really can be called masters of what they do is listening to their story, getting them to tell what happened, what the challenges were, how they got there. So, I want to give the phone number again. So those of you who are sitting there going, what is that phone number? Because I really want to call in. Can call in now. It's 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. Call in. Say something funny. Give me a hard time and guess my age. Okay, so all of, you know, people tend to think that someone who does what they consider amazing things must have been born that way. But if you look at musicians and athletes who are the ones that are easy to watch, easy to understand, if someone has talent and they never get training in that talent, they'll always have a knack for things. They'll always do things that surprise other people. But they never will gain skill. They'll never be really good at what they do, whether that's music, sports, whatever it is. If you have no talent, but you work really hard and you have good teachers, you'll develop skill. You may not rise to the level of mastery that a talented person would, but you'll gain amazing skills. if you start with innate talent and you find good teachers and you commit to a lot of hard work, the stuff that you can do is totally amazing to people, but the story that people don't hear is what it took to get there. And that's part of the juiciness of the interviews that I do on the show. We've got a caller, Suzanne from New Jersey. Hey, Suzanne.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
How are you? Happy birthday.
Thank you. And thank you for calling in because I was getting kind of tired.
Well, yeah,
tired talking to myself.
I just got in from work. I'm like, oh, nobody missed it. But I sent you, I didn't get in last week because I thought I missed it last week, but it was this week.
There you go.
Yeah.
But there you go. Well, birthday. Thanks so much for calling.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you want to guess my age?
I'm not trying to, I'm going to say 65. I don't know if that's right, but I don't want to, over guess, but I'll say 65, I think.
Well, I am not going to reveal my age until the end.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Okay, good.
Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
So, one of the things about these call-in things is I know you're from New Jersey, and I know I did a clearing on you.
You're clearing for us, uh-huh.
But without your last name and more context, I don't know. I have no idea what I did.
Yeah, no. What, the town?
Or you can just remind me something about what happened, or if you want to tell a little bit of the story of what went on.
I was referred to by Cecily.
Mm-hmm.
And you did a clearing on the house, and you did a clearing on myself, and our dog Buster, and the three children.
Ah, yes.
And we're from Ridgefield Park.
Yep.
Yeah, and that was maybe almost 2 years ago. We were trying to sell a house, and the house was so different after you did the clearing. It was lighter. I mean, even when I had people over, they felt a different difference in the just in the whole surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up not selling the house. We decided to stay. But I think we need another clearing. I think a little doom and gloom is coming around. We're getting floods again. You had cleared it out. That we weren't getting floods in the basement. They're not as bad as they used to be, but they're starting to come back. So I think the house needs some help again.
And that happens. You know, everything is changing so fast that, you know, either something changed in the family, something changed in the land,
we had a few deaths in the family, a few things with the kids at school. It was just we were going through a bad time.
Yep.
And,
you know where to find me. Send me an email, and we'll get going. Happy to do that for you.
Great.
Thanks so much for calling.
And have a happy birthday tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Happy and healthy. Thank you, David. Have a good night.
Bye, Suzanne. And we've got Aaron from Virginia. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Well,
happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm a new listener, and I have a lot of questions for you. I got to say, it's all a bit strange for somebody who's very new to this whole topic.
I understand. It was strange for me before I got involved in it. So,
I just want to hear a story from you. I think that you must be a wealth of really good and strange, bizarre stories.
I am definitely a wealth of strange and bizarre stories.
So tell me about one of the experiences with your clearing of buildings and homes especially. What's one of the interesting stories with that?
You know, it's a fascinating process looking back at when I first started doing this and how much more drama there was to it. And how much of a big deal a lot of things are. And a lot of things that used to be a very big deal now are kind of, oh, look at that. That's happening here, too. So, you know, one of the things that I do, and fortunately I have colleagues that do the same thing, so I can talk, like any other work, I can talk to people and go, have you ever seen this before? You know, would you take a look at this for me? So they're ghosts. Well, first of all, let me tell you a little bit about clearing a house. The first thing I do is clear the energy of the land itself. There are energy lines that run in the land that cause vortexes that affect the way people feel. Underground water affects the way people feel. So all of that needs to be mitigated. The history of the place needs to be mitigated. So if there was a tribal battle thousands of years ago and lots of people died there, the energy of that is still there. If there was a financial struggle over the ownership of the land, that's still there. If there was a battle, there was, you know, it's still there. So that needs to be cleared. Then I start getting into the more recent historical kinds of energy. You know, if there was a struggle or violence in the house, it's still coded into the energy of the house, and that needs to be cleared. And only after I've done all of that do I deal with the things that people think I do, which is things like ghosts and demons and trolls, oh my. All kinds of non-physical entities that could be affecting people. And usually the things that are affecting people that they will notice are ghosts. And ghosts are people that don't have bodies anymore. So they have personalities that range across the entire possibility of human personality, from the most timid and withdrawn person to extremely gregarious or extremely violent. And like living people, the number of people at either end of the spectrum is fairly small. So you don't run into dangerous people most of the time. So, you know, I've developed techniques to deal with all those different aspects of things, and depending on the circumstances.
With the land, I mean, is it that most every place could essentially use a clearing?
There are places that are pretty clear, but they're few and far between. Because
and you mentioned vortexes. What about a place like Sedona? I've heard that there's vortex there or something like that.
Right, and the vortexes are locations where powerful energy lines in the land cross, and the ones in Sedona are both very powerful, so it's easy to feel them, and they're well documented because people have known about them. You know, natives, tribes have known about them for thousands of years, but they're very, very well documented. So for people that have no experience of it at all, typically they can go to one of the powerful vortexes in Sedona and go, oh, yes, something's going on here. I feel dizzy. I feel wobbly, you know, whatever it is. And you kind of cross a line where you go into the energy of the vortex, and you can tell that there's something different. And it's one of those, as I was saying before, it's about experience. You go from, well, everybody tells me there's a vortex here, and I believe that because I trust them, yada, 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 yada. You know, it's all hearsay. To having a personal experience of it and going, oh, there is really something going on here. This is really obvious to me. I feel it in my body. I'm, you know, everything is shifting in some way I don't understand, but I know it's real. So,
on some lands, you clear those vortexes?
It's not clearing them as much as mitigating them.
Okay.
They have polarity. Yeah, positive or negative polarity. And like a lot of other, you know, I use the term mitigated because people have a sense of that for other kinds of things that go on in houses. You know, you mitigate radon gas, you mitigate all kinds of toxic things. And it's kind of the same thing. It's doing a process where the polarity is not affecting things as much and the vortexes are not as powerful as they were in affecting people's health and emotions in the same way. You can't, in my experience, you can't quickly anyway shift something that's very negative to very positive, but you can certainly bring it to neutral. And there are some places that are so active that you really can't completely mitigate it. And if you've got very sensitive, you know, for example, very sensitive children, young children, and they're in an extremely active place, it's not a good combination. And I've seen that a few times, you know, not many times, but a few times, where the kids are really struggling because of both the energy of the vortexes and the entities that are showing up because the vortexes are so powerful and they're acting like portals. So they're constantly seeing things and getting creeped out. And one of the things I do with kids like that is if the parents don't have any sense of that, educate the parents and give them some skills and understanding of what the child's experience is. Because especially with very young kids, they're going to give you, you know, something very simple like scary guy, which isn't really going to help the parent too much if they can't see him. So I try and help them through that process, and also if I can work with the kids or give the parents some ways to work with the kids. So it's a really broad range of stuff. And there are lots of people that do one aspect or another of this kind of clearing work. There are not many people that do all the different levels. And I certainly know people all over the planet that do this work, and each of us has our particular sensitivities to things and our particular, you know, skills at certain aspects of it. So when I find something that isn't responding the way I expected, I, you know, call Maggie Landman in Australia or Lynn Armour in Canada or Claudia McNeely in Texas, send them an email and say, could you look at this and tell me what you're getting? Because this is weird even for me.
Now, on a different topic, I've heard you say that you can help people with bipolar and dissociative disorders?
With people with psychiatric disorders. You know, it's treading a fine line talking about this stuff because it's way outside the medical and psychiatric model. Although 10, 20 years ago, there was a whole movement called the Spiritual Emergence Movement, which was looking at psychiatric emergencies as really being spiritual emergencies, as being a transformative process. I worked in locked psych units several times in different places. And one of the times I was working night shift while I was being trained by two shamans. So, you know, there are all these people that are talking to their voices and are considered psychotic, and I could see who they were talking to.
And how's that? I mean, who are they talking to?
And that's the thing. Most of them were talking to ghosts. Uh-huh. They may not be able to differentiate live, or it could be so much a part of their lives since they would be called in a lot of cultures. But they just are considered crazy people to talk to voices, you know, things that aren't there. Well, there is something there. When people are violently psychotic, you know, in a really dark place and dangerous, they're talking to energy parasites that typically get called demons. And the demon is just repeating back to the person their dark story that they're processing. So whatever it is that they're angry about, freaked out about, can't process, they've got an internal dialogue going on and they've got an external dialogue going on. The psychiatrist who doesn't believe in and can't see the external being says to the client, there's no one there, you're crazy. The client, who is very clear that there's someone there, thinks that the psychiatrist is crazy. And you wind up with a deadlock. Mm-hmm. So besides the fact that a lot of what's going on is their energy has been, their energy body, the non-physical part of them, has been so badly trashed that it's very difficult for them to heal. So by cleaning up all the damage in their energy body and getting rid of the beings that are harassing them, the beings that are talking to them and giving them a hard time, you can create an opening for a different kind of healing. You can give them a moment of clarity. Sometimes it's dramatic and it holds. Frequently it's an opening. So I've worked on people with, you know, identified as having PTSD, which they did, you know, they have all the diagnostic signs for it, and who wanted to get into drug rehab and get their act together, but were never able to do it. I worked on them, and the next day they went into rehab. Now, does that mean their symptoms are gone and they're going to have that clarity forever? Probably not from one session. You know, if I could work with them over time, yeah, it would make a big difference. But they do get these moments of clarity, which might last a day or a week or however long they last until another stressor comes in, where they can do things for themselves that they weren't able to do before. And if I can work with them over time, then, you know, sometimes there are really dramatic improvements. So, you know, I can only go by the experiences and feedback of the clients that I've worked with. And obviously, I don't tell very many stories about people who have psychiatric issues going on because, first of all, there's confidentiality issues. But, you know, nobody wants that stuff told. But, you know, I have seen dramatic results some of the time. And the same is true for physical healing. You know, I've worked on a few people like Edwin with his stroke, or one gal that I worked hands-on with who was going in for scans for her cancer that was fairly advanced, and the scan showed nothing. Now, was that because I did laying on hands on her the day before? Well, it certainly was different than her expectation and different than what the previous scans showed, but do I have enough body of information to tell you that, you know, I've worked on so many people with that issue that I know pretty consistently what the outcome is? No, I haven't. So, you know, that's the definition of a miracle. When you get a result that is far beyond expectations without a physical world explanation for it. So I see that sometimes. It's very exciting when I see it.
Yeah, that would be good.
So
I still haven't gotten a story of a house clearing or a building.
Of a house clearing. Well, I'll give you a dramatic story, and I was alluding to it at the beginning of the show when I was just talking to myself. When I was being trained, and I was apprenticed with two shamans over a period of about 3 years, a woman that I was dating at the time worked as a drug counselor at a psychiatric hospital. And the psychiatric hospital had a nursing strike, and they had to clear all the patients out because they had no nurses. So suddenly this active psychiatric hospital was empty. And the two of us gleefully looked at each other and said, "Let's get keys. Let's clear it." So we got permission to go into this empty psychiatric hospital and go from room to room, and we learned a lot. And most of it was fascinating and a lot of fun. We met some really interesting ghosts, and you know, when you're doing it for the first time, everything you do is a very big learning. And then we got to the end of the hallway, and it became like a bad movie. Because there was this door at the end of the hallway that led to another small hallway with only three rooms. And you could feel that something really bad had been in those rooms. Obviously, the patients weren't there. And we went into the second room and opened the door and just looked at each other and went, "Oh, God, what do we get ourselves into? Are we going to do this?" And we said, "No." We said, "This is the last thing we're going to do," and we said we'd do the whole hospital. And we could see where this being was, but not see him clearly. And I, you know, being young and stupid, which I guess is redundant, walked right up to him and got knocked against the wall and choked. I'm like, "Oh, I've heard these stories, but I didn't think they were real." So that's probably the most dramatic on-site space clearing thing that's ever happened to me. And one of the reasons that I work remotely, besides the fact that it's really convenient and people don't have to pay me for travel and all that kind of stuff, is that if I can do it remotely, why would I want to be on-site and take the risk? You know, if someone wants to come after me, they have to come after me, and that usually doesn't go well for them. So that's the highest drama event that I've ever experienced.
What do you think of all the ghost hunting shows?
I have mixed feelings about it. On the one hand, I'm glad that the interest is there, and they're in many ways confirming that the phenomena are real for people who are total skeptics about it. And it's created a whole subculture of people that are now, you know, buying some equipment, going out and ghost hunting. And I'm not sure that is the greatest idea because of my experiences. So it's a mixed bag. And you got to realize it's reality TV and it's designed for drama.
Yeah.
So I watch them do things and I scream at them, you know, sitting alone in my living room. I don't watch them anymore because I got too much. I'm like, don't do that. You know, why are you doing that? You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, some of it may be staged. I have no idea how much of it is real and how much of it's not. But it's creating interest and it's creating a conversation. I think that's really important. So thank you so much for calling.
Well,
I really appreciate it.
And
thank you. Thank you so much. Well, we got about 5 minutes to go, and I got to tell people what my age is. So, did you? You haven't guessed yet.
Oh, no, I haven't. I'll say 57.
67?
57.
57? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Okay.
So, we've got three guesses. And do we have anybody else on deck? Bob in the studio control room? And Bob says, no, sir. So, I guess I got to tell all, don't I? Suzanne was right. My age is 65. You can think of things like Medicare and sorted other things that make me feel really, really old. Well, the truth is, I don't feel really old, which is what's confusing about it. This is the age that in my head is old, and I don't feel old, and I don't look old. So there you have it. I'm as confused as anybody else. So I want to thank everybody that called in and played the game with me. I hope you enjoyed my ramblings, and you may never know the rest of the story that I started to tell, but that's how it is with a call-in program. Again, if you're interested in the work that I do, please go to househealing.com. On the contact page, besides all kinds of ways to get in touch with me, you'll find a link for my online scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute reading and assessment of what's going on for you so we can take a look at whether my work is appropriate for you, and I can give you an idea of what's going on at your house or with a person that you're concerned about. And that's free. About 20 minutes, half an hour. If you want more information or you want to listen to the back episodes of the Farkas Files, you can go to, are you ready for this? TheFarkasFiles.com. And that will take you directly to the Empower Radio archives file for the show. You can also find us on iTunes. Just search for Farkas Files on iTunes. And we are very shortly going to be rebroadcast on Valley Free Radio in Northampton, Massachusetts, which is right up the road from me. So we're very excited about all the changes that are going on with this. So I want to thank everybody that came to play. I had a good time. I hope you had a good time, too. So this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. On Empower Radio. Come on back next Thursday. We'll have a great time.